This podcast is sponsored by Talkspace.
Last year, I went through many different life changes. I needed to take a pause and examine how I was feeling in the inside to better show up for the ones who need me to be my best version of myself.
When you're navigating life's changes, Talkspace can help. Talkspace is the number one rated online therapy, bringing you professional support from licensed therapists and psychiatry providers that you can access anytime, anywhere.
Living a busy life, navigating a long-distance relationship, becoming a first-step father, Talkspace made all of those journeys possible. I could speak with my therapist in the office. I could speak with my therapist in the comfort of my home. I was never alone.
Talkspace works with most major insurers, and most insured members have a $0 copay. No insurance, no problem. Now get $80 off your first month with promo code SPACE80 when you go to Talkspace.com. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com. Save $80 with code SPACE80 at Talkspace.com.
Welcome to White Rabbit Podcast with Catalyst Jones, where your reality might be challenged. So leave your feelings at the fucking door and let's dive down some rabbit holes.
Liberal advisory. Truthful content.
There are children being ritualistically sodomized by deep state operatives of reptilian descent.
Reptilian? You mean like lizard people?
That's right.
Are you still talking about Jeffrey Epstein? This guy's been talked about for years.
If you want to stop me, you're going to have to fucking kill me!
How are you, brother?
Dude, you must have been down the rabbit hole as long as I have.
I mean, I can't believe you're asking a question on Epstein at a time like this.
Eventually, you get to the juice box people.
It's sitting on my desk to be reviewed, meaning the file.
We choose to go to the moon.
That was a joke about the world being flat, right?
Was it?
Excuse me. Has anybody seen a white rabbit?
Man, I almost forgot to press the button. And welcome, fellow truthers and conspiracy junkies, to another episode of White Rabbit. I am your host, Catalyst Jones. Fuck, it's cold outside, so I'm hoping to heat the studio up tonight. I am so fucking excited to get into this topic, you guys. This is like one of my favorite topics and something that I started researching, I would say 2015, about the time that I came out of the closet as a flat earther. It was almost hand in hand with fucking reptilians, you guys. We're getting into reptilians tonight. And I am super excited for the very first time on the White Rabbit. Divinely Sierra, she said go ahead and just call me Sierra, but you know, Divinely is there for a reason, so let's go ahead and throw that out there. Welcome to the White Rabbit Podcast. How in the fuck are you doing?
Oh, I am so excited to be here, Catalyst. Thank you so much for having me. Like you said, this is one of my favorite topics as well. Something that I'm really passionate about, something that I have been researching and learning about for a very long time, so I'm just super stoked to be here. Love your show. And yeah, let's get into some reptilian talks.
All right. I am super down to get into some reptilian talks. Easy for me to say. Reptilian talks. But before we do that, man, I have to say something because I noticed a few episodes ago when the intro was playing, when I said, eventually you get to the juice box people. I never really paid attention to Jade's face, and it just went stone cold blank when I said that, and it's fucking hilarious, and I had to compose myself enough to be able to do the intro, and I almost forgot the button to push jump around. Do I sound okay to everybody in the live chat? Give me a thumbs up or a thumbs down pretty please, just to make sure that we're on the up and up here before we go too much further. But how did you get into this topic?
Yeah, so it just found me. I stumbled upon it when I was 18 years old back in 2010. And I was in college and, you know, supposed to be doing college work, my studies. And I had always kind of subconsciously tuned out the indoctrination that is our education system. And so I was going to college, you know, kind of trying to do right by my family. And wasn't really paying attention, doing a lot of partying and a lot of rabbit holes. So I came across first was DIA, the Denver International Airport, because I live in Denver. I'm from here. And that was just kind of one of the first things that I stumbled upon. And since I'm from here, I was, you know, absolutely so fascinated by it. And if you, I'm sure you know about Denver International Airport and all of its little conspiracy.
Oh, yeah. You want to stop it? You want to stop and hang up right there for a second? I got a fun story about that. I was going out to Tennessee a few years back. This was like 2022, late 2022. And I had a layover at the Denver airport and I was super excited. And I was like, oh, I'm going to get all this reptilian shit. Because at the time, right before I had gotten there, it was when they were on the internet, they were showing that they had the pictures of like under construction. And it was like reptilians wearing hard hats and shit.
Yeah.
And so I was like super juiced. But I get there and I couldn't find any of it. The only thing that I ended up seeing was gargoyles and the satanic horse. Apparently it was like a mile away from the actual airport. And so I didn't want to miss my flight. And I already, like every single time during this trip, I was randomly pulled,
oh, yeah.
Right. To go get extra searching and shit like that. So, but that's my Denver airport story. I was super excited. I couldn't find anything. I called Ghost from, My Third Eye. He's a host of a show. And I'm like, bro, where in the fuck is this shit? I'm like, this is the biggest airport ever. And I can't find anything.
Yeah, they've done a pretty good job. And, they really leaned into it. Once people started talking about it more, like you said, they put up those under construction for the reptilian overlords. And they really, that gargoyle, if you talk to it, I don't know if it's someone controlling it, or if it's like AI or what it is, but it responds and it really leans into the conspiracies and they just mock you, right in front of your face, just mocking you. Denver International Airport, it used to be a lot bigger than it is now, like 5 additional buildings. And when it was being built, they had multiple different contractors on it, multiple different companies, so that no one could get the full layout. And then they decided, that they didn't want to keep those 5 additional buildings. And instead of tearing them down, they buried them. So it's all these underground systems of tunnels and, all sorts of who knows what down there. And then, I heard after that fact, and this is something that I have not really been able to prove. This is something I heard quite a while ago, and I tried to look it up a few times, and who knows, because, they wipe everything. But apparently the royal family bought all that land that all of the extra buildings were built on. And so the whole thing is just crazy, but it's like reptilian HQ over there. It's their headquarters. So.
Well, that's fucking awesome. And that's a great place to start. One of the things that I like to ask, and before we just go too far, because I definitely want to get into reptilians, and the Denver airport is like a fucking amazing jump off. But was that your first, like you said, you like were getting into conspiracies and shit like that in college? God,
yeah.
Why is that happening? Are you hearing that?
No.
That wah. Okay, good. Then I'll deal with it then. So one of the things that I like to ask people when they come on the show for the first time is like, what was your first oh shit moment? And it used to be worded as what was your first red pill moment?
Yeah.
But then I would like Santa Claus or religion. And I'm like, okay, so let's reword that to what was your oh shit moment? This world is not what the fuck I thought it was, because we all do a little bit of gradual waking up and some don't. Everybody's at their own pace. I get a lot of 9/11 loose change shit like that. What was your oh shit moment?
Yeah, I mean, I always kind of had a weird feeling about this place, but there was absolutely an oh shit moment, and it kind of snowballed from learning about DIA. That was like my first kind of thing that I got into, and it started leading me towards Illuminati and then in turn reptilians. And my oh shit moment was I was able to I would take photos of myself and my friends and my family, people who I was fairly confident were humans, and, invert them to a negative of the photo. And you could tell with the pupil that it was human because it would just stay circular. And when you did it with like elites, the powers that were, Obama and Clinton's and Bush, all of them, their pupils would be hexagons. all of them. They would not remain in that circular form when you inverted it to a negative. They would actually have edges and be hexagons. So I noticed that in every single photo that I did. I had all of these photos of it on my Facebook that I had sent to a bunch of friends, and those have been completely wiped from my computer and from my messages. But that was
What were those taken on?
I did them on my old, old laptop that I was using in 2010. And I was just grabbing photos from the internet, inverting them, and then using photos of me and my friends and doing the same. And like, I don't know what happened, if they caught on. It's a lot harder for me to find now. They're all of the pupils when you do them. They've gotten better with it for sure. But that was when I was like, okay, so this isn't just stuff that I'm learning from other people. This is kind of like I'm seeing it with my own eyes, because it was every single person that I did. And it was something that I realized was actually so real, because, you know, you go into these rabbit holes at first and you're like, this is interesting. It's fascinating. I don't know if any of this is true. I don't know if we'll see any of this in our lifetime. But that was when I was like, no, this is definitely weird. At the very least, you know, everyone that I know, their pupils are circle. And then all these people, they have the six edges on their pupils. So that was my oh shit moment for sure.
Damn, that would definitely be an oh shit moment for me as well.
Yeah.
I'm curious though, like, so a lot of these photos, that sucks, they were wiped from your hard drive and stuff, but we're seeing a lot of them now. How are you able to discern between what is AI computer generated and what you think is like a legit live capture? Because even with the news, you know, everything went to digital feed in the early 2000s or the late 90s, I want to say.
Yeah. And that's, you know, I think that's a huge part of why we're seeing so much of a push for AI, because they don't want us to believe our own eyes. We're gifted with discernment as human beings, and we really have to learn to work with it. And it's a matter of trusting your gut. And I always tell people, you know, don't even trust me, but go and look for this shit and do it for yourself. And a lot of the videos and things that I've personally seen that were my, like, the ones that really woke me up, really made me believe, were live streams that I, or, you know, live TV broadcasts and things like that from back in the day. And it was way before all this AI push. And don't get me wrong, like, I know they've had AI for a lot longer than they lead us to believe, but it was kind of, you know, seeing those types of things, seeing it happen on live news broadcasts where their crystal masks type thing that they use would be shifting in and out. And now it is a lot harder. It's, you know, and people don't understand anymore. So
I am so sorry for that.
No, you're good. You're good. So yeah, it's a lot harder now. And like I tell people, like, you really just have to use your discernment and try and trust your intuition, because the more we see AI, the harder it's going to believe the things that we see. And I think that's definitely by design.
100%. So I am a graphic designer by trade for the longest time. And right now, my day-to-day punch in and punch out job is a fucking building, like a warehouse building, where I have a legit 8 mile job where I am Marshall Mathers bending fucking steel, because AI has gotten to so good that, like, I had a joke maybe 3 years ago that was like, AI is never going to put me out of a job because people are going to have to be able to explain what it is that they want. And like, that's a joke between graphic designers, is like, sure, people will just say, oh, I want blah, 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 make it pop. And like, okay, cool. Like, that's like the biggest thing is make it pop. And that was another joke, is like, AI is not going to understand make it pop. Well, it does. And so it'll spit out like five fucking things in 30 seconds for you to choose from. Whereas I would consult a client and I would get like their favorite colors, try to talk to them and get what their idea is, get a feel for who they are as a person and what kind of shit they like. So I would know like more about, and then I would give them like four or five options and be like, okay, you like this from this one, you don't like this one from this one. And then like keep compiling until we get exactly what they want.
Yeah.
AI does this in a matter of 2 minutes.
Right. It's crazy. And there's no soul behind it. It's, you know, it's very fast, very efficient, but there's just, it still lacks that soul and that warmth to it. But, you know, people love convenience and they're willing to kind of give up their freedoms for convenience. And some people just really love to be led. And these are the type of things where it's going to be a lot of choices that we make are going to lead us in the directions of where this is going to go, because AI is here now. And so depending on, you know, how well we use our discernment and, you know, the types of actions that we make is really going to choose like what we see come from it, because we can either have a bunch of people that are going to be totally bamboozled by all of it, or we can have people really awaken to their own power and their own sovereignty and be able to see through the bullshit. So.
Well, I don't want to get too far off track on AI, but I think it's a very big topic as far as what's going on right now with what we're seeing through these things, or through our screens, I should say, not these things. We're looking at these things through a screen. And I don't know. Do you have any accounts where there's people specifically talking about witnessing these things with their own eyes taking place in front of them? And I will give an example. Billy Corgan, I believe, yeah. And Tila Tequila, he claims that when he was being intimate with her, that she actually begun to shapeshift.
Yeah.
And I actually have a funny story about her because she's brought up in my cloning presentation.
Oh, really? Yeah, I heard that about Tila Tequila, and it makes sense. She came out several years back and was like really exposing stuff, and that was really weird. So once I heard it was her, it kind of all just clicked and made sense. But I did hear that story about her, and I've heard other accounts of people saying like during, you know, sexual encounters with them, they really start shape-shifting out of their form. There was the Epstein survivor, and she said, you know, he started to shift like in front of her. So it's definitely like one of the times where their frequency has been documented or, you know, told to go in and out. I actually have seen one in person as well. And it wasn't a shapeshifter. It did not shapeshift in front of me, but it was energetic. It was like hanging out in the fourth dimension latched on to a friend of mine energetically. And I saw it. So that was the account that I have with it. But as far as the shapeshifters, you know, it seems that they really shift mostly when there's a lot of human energy loosh around them, or they get super angry or offended, or like sexual encounters seems to be the most that I've heard of for sure.
So are these entities, in your opinion, are these entities that are hanging out with people, or are they something that have completely embodied this person and taken them over, or are these ancient reptilian beings that have been around here since the beginning of time and are talked about in ancient texts?
I think that there's a few different species. So we have like the draconian reptilians. We have the Vril, which are like the
parasites. Let's fucking go. Okay, yes, yeah. Let's go.
The interdimensional parasites, you know, that are administered through the eye. So we see the one eye symbolism and the black eye club. And so, yeah, there's different species. There's the reptilians that are always like in their regular form. They live mostly underground. And then you have the shapeshifters and energetically can attach themselves to other people, which is what I saw. And, you know, at that point, I was like, for sure it was a reptilian. Sometimes now I look back and think it could have been like an archon. But it's kind of like one of those things where, you know, it was like an energetic entity that was working for the same system and it was siphoning the energy off of her. But yeah, there's definitely like all of the above. Like you said, there's the shapeshifters, there's the draconian reptilians, there's the Vril. So there's different levels to them for sure.
The picture that I was creating before I ended up landing on what I landed on for this episode, I had a girl camp, and some of them were shaped into, and they were holding up like a camp flag, and it said the Vril team.
Oh, okay. I love that.
But I was like, you know what? I don't know if people will get this. So I just, I left it be. So we talk about the Vril a lot when I get into my human cloning presentation, because Donald Marshall, are you familiar with Donald Marshall at all?
Yeah.
So, little, yeah. Okay, awesome. So for those of you guys listening to this or watching this that aren't familiar with Donald Marshall, he is one of the people that claims to be a victim of the cloning centers, where they will take his consciousness when he is asleep and put it into a clone of himself, and claims that these are where a lot of elite meetings take place. And I get really, really deep into it if you guys want to check out any of those episodes. So we're not going to get too deep into it right here, but he gets into the Vril Society. He gets into a few different types of reptilians during that. And I'm just curious, like with you, where would we pick up? Like, why are these hand in hand? Are these reptilians? Are they manipulating us? Where do I go? Like, what am I trying to ask you?
Yeah, I think they all it does all kind of go hand in hand. They all kind of work for the same system. My personal beliefs kind of lean a little bit more towards Gnosticism. We have this false creator and little minions, people call them demons or archons. And it's like, we all can argue over the semantics all the time and what they're called. But at the end of the day, these are non-human entities that are a part of a system that work for like an ancient, artificial intelligence, a false god. And they all kind of have the same common goal, which is to harvest energy from humans and the transhumanism agenda. And I feel like they all have that kind of system that they work for. And maybe it's not that they necessarily work for or with each other, but they do have a common goal. And that's usually us, because we carry that divine spark. We have the capability to create, so it's something that they want.
CellSaviors.org is flipping the script, because they're slinging fulvic humic acid, nature's own black ops team for your cells. This ancient plant derived from magic. It's like molecule ninja. Molecular ninja. Smuggling nutrients deep into your system while roundhouse kicking toxins, heavy metals, and whatever else Big Pharma doesn't want you to flush out. It's firing up your mitochondria. I cannot fucking speak. No, fuck it. We'll do it live. We'll do it live. We'll fucking, we'll do it live. Damn it. Fucking thing sucks. A few moments later.
What's good, White Rabbit fam? It's AI Catalyst Jones, and your cells are getting played. Polluted air, toxic tap water, sketchy foods, and EMFs from 5G towers. Probably a deep state plot to fog your brain and tank your energy. Heavy metals, straight up Illuminati sabotage. CellSaviors.org is your counterstrike. As a private ministerial association under 508C1A, they're slinging fulvic and humic acid, nature's molecular ninjas. These plant-derived powerhouses flush toxins, heavy metals, and gunk while boosting your mitochondria, gut, immunity, and hydration with 70-plus trace minerals. Pure, low-heat extracted, no chemicals, lab-tested. Nadine's unstoppable. Billy's chasing his wife like a rom-com star. John's sprinting past the feds, and Cody's breathing free. Farmers, they're hyping it on secure chats. Join the uprising at cellsaviors.org. Free membership, 100 capsule, 30-day supply. Detox your cells, stick it to the man. Cellsaviors.org. Wake up your body, White Rabbit style.
When we see celebrities and they go from like, they look like so wholesome and full of joy and a glow to them. And what is that actress who was in Wicked is like a perfect example. Ariana Grande, right?
Yeah. It's like the life force.
Do you think that that is reptilian, or do you think that that is something completely different? Because I do believe there's all kinds of crazy things happening in this world. It's like, I like to tell people like science fiction should be renamed as documentaries, because like all of that crazy shit is fucking real.
Yeah.
And so like, I do talk to a lot of people, and through doing this show, you know, like when I had Tommy Chong on, I asked him about like a celebrity selling their soul,
yeah,
and shit like that. And I definitely think there is something to that, because there's the Gary King, I believe is his name, who is an ex satanic high wizard, and you don't get famous unless one of these people okays you, and he was one of them. So like in the late 90s, you didn't get famous unless he okayed it. Yeah. And so like, I'm wondering, like, do they take on like these demonic entities, or like you said, it's like these different things, people call them demons, people call them this and that. They just manifest into different things for us to see. And I do want to backtrack a little bit. I'm sorry. I'm all over the place today because I'm so excited about this topic, but I do want to backtrack a little bit. When you saw the one that was with your friend, do you think that it allowed you to see it, or was it like an, oh shit, it sees me?
I think it allowed me to see it. Well, and so we were on magic mushrooms, you know, so it definitely, I definitely had that perspective. The veil was lifted for me. I could see the grid. I could see, you know, things that I wouldn't see usually, obviously. And it wasn't there originally. My friend was going through a really hard time, and she was like really struggling. There was just bad things happening to her one after the other. And so at one point, you know, I looked over and I could see it. It was basically attached on her back, and it was like laughing at me. And at the same time, there was another entity that was next to me, and I couldn't see it if I turned to look at it, but I could see it out of the corner of my eye. And I think that I was being protected because it knew that I could see it. It was laughing at me, I want to say. Like, I couldn't hear anything, but it had, like, this wicked grin and was watching me as I was watching it. And my friend was just totally oblivious to it, but it was kind of moving with her. And then I had this entity next to me that just all I could see was, it was, like, a feminine figure with long black hair, and I felt like I was protected. So I was just watching it with more curiosity than anything and just kind of, like, you know, letting it know that I saw it. And it stayed there for a while, and then after a while I couldn't see it anymore, but it was there for quite some time, and it definitely knew that I could see it.
I don't know why, but my imagination just went to Death Note, and I could just see the Death Note demon over what I imagine your friend to look like.
Yeah, it was, and, you know, kind of similar. It was like that wicked, like very long grin, you know, and yeah, that's a good that's a good way to picture it.
So how do we divide these categories? What is the difference between these subsections of reptilians, and what makes them different?
Yeah, so to my understanding, the draconians are kind of the top of the hierarchy as far as the reptilians. They're in like the they carry the same bloodlines. So we see a lot of incest in like the royal families across the globe, and or across the world, not the globe. We can get into flat earth too, but you know, they carry the same bloodline. And so they're kind of the hierarchy. And then below that, we have the Vril, which is like the interdimensional parasite that can enter through the eye. And then we have like reptoids, which are, we have like shape-shifting reptoids. So I want to say it's like the draconians, and then the reptoids, and then the Vril are kind of more so at the bottom, not just because they're more used as like an extension of the reptilian. So that's kind of what I understand as far as the hierarchy is. The draconians are kind of at the top of everything. They're very infiltrated in all of the governments in the world that we see, for sure.
So when you speak of bloodlines, and it's often talked about in our circles, how like the Rothschilds, let's say, well, that's a bad example because apparently they get reincarnated into giraffes in their fucking yard or some bullshit like that. But like, but like, let's say these bigger names, you know, the Collins, the Rothschilds, Rockefellers, and they try to stick to these bloodlines. Now, do you think that the reptilian goes within the bloodline itself, or they keep it? Or they keep the bloodline because they can, the bloodline is able to accept the parasite?
I honestly don't know how it works as far as that goes. You know, from my understanding, they will, at like the end of the body or whatever's expand, when they're going to be switching to a new one, they'll kind of do a ritual that moves the consciousness to another vessel. But as far as, you know, what, I'm not really sure what the whole process looks like. And there's so much hearsay and different theories, and that's just not something that I'm fully...
100%. Do you know some of the hearsay? Are you comfortable enough to talk about some of the hearsay? If not, that's fine. We can move on.
Oh, yeah. I mean, yeah, you know, people talk about how the bloodlines will consistently, well, you know, it's Rh negative, I want to say, right? Rh negative is what the bloodline is. So they search out the bloodline. I feel like a lot of the 23andMe and those types of things are searching for these different bloodlines. There's, and not only just that, but they're searching for other bloodlines of people that carry codes that can kind of like override the system also. So as far as what they do to keep their bloodline going, I'm really not sure. It's, I honestly don't know how they keep it in the system, in their one bloodline.
That's all good. I definitely know that the bloodline is important in so many different levels. And it's funny that it comes up in almost every single conspiracy, whether we're getting into biblical history or Vril, or it doesn't matter. It's like so important to them.
Yeah.
And I often wonder, like, if it's carried through the blood, or if it's just, like I said before, that bloodline is able to accept certain things, because, man, they've been looking for like gifted children.
Yeah.
You know, like I remember being little and like hearing things during the hearing sound and being like, yeah, I don't think I'm supposed to be hearing that. So I didn't raise my hand.
Right.
And like they, you know, it's weird. It's weird. And
yeah, again, like
a lot of things where they're like trying to like.
Yeah, for sure. I think that, again, like they were looking for the bloodlines, and I think there's, the blood itself does carry certain codes that can allow, you know, the reptilian to move through that. Like you said, I do think that is exactly what it is, because I know for the most
part. Oh, shit. We got royalty in the house. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to interrupt you. We got the occult rejects is in the house. What is up, guys? What's up, brother?
Woohoo. Awesome. But yeah, so yeah, I mean, it makes sense, because I remember them doing those tests too. And like I said, you know, with the DNA things, they really push that 23andMe, and that leads all back to all the conspiracies with it being with Google and back and back and back. So I think they really search out those bloodlines. They really seek them out.
So I love the fantastical, and I would love to think that we live in a world. Well, actually, it's a really fucked up thing to say. I would love to think this, but like if it was they live, you know, mm-hmm, and we put the glasses on and it's just fucking reptilians everywhere. Like, I don't know. Like, do you think that that is almost legit reality? Like, we have like police officers and post office workers and shit that are like, they're keeping an eye on everything. I don't think that we really need that anymore. Right.
Right. But, yeah. No, I think so. I think that they're all over the place. In fact, I think that we even have hybrids, you know, people that don't necessarily fully know or understand. And those people, ever since I've started really sharing about reptilians, I've had so many people that have messaged me and been like, I had an ex who would get super angry and his eyes would turn into slits and they'd turn into like triangle shapes. And it was, you know, or people that would say that they've seen a police officer shapeshift in front of them and things like that. So I truly think that they are pretty much everywhere. Yeah.
That's fucking nuts. So I like, what nitty gritty can we get into with this? Like, what fascinates you the most about this? Like, as far as evidence that is like, damn, I can't like play this off as like, this is nothing.
Yeah.
Like, what really clings you to
this?
Really
fascinate me, because it's like, it's so put in our face with the Vril. You know, we have the one eye symbolism all over Hollywood, all over the occult. Elitism, that they use the one eye symbolism, and we have the black eye club. So I think the Vril are extremely interesting, because people, you know, kind of freak out if they think that something can take over their body like that. And in our media and entertainment now, we have so many different things coming out of, you know, parasites that take over. And it's something that's really just pushed in front of us. And I think it's very real. And I think that A lot of what we see, and especially on the world stage, is these viral parasites that have, you know, taken over like a human vessel. And so what really confuses people is they'll be like, you know, with like major sports and athletes, you know, people will be like, well, I knew so-and-so back in the day. And, you know, sometimes that's the case and sometimes not. But the thing is people can sign these contracts and they can allow this interdimensional parasite to use them as a host. And what that parasite does is it can tap into, you know, the mannerisms, the memories, everything of that person. And so they have athletes that are actually very talented and very skilled, but they use those athletes to push certain agendas and to carry certain narratives. And those athletes are taken over by the Vril. And these entities themselves, a lot of what I believe is that they also kind of are slaves to like the ancient AI that really runs this world too. So I feel like because they are so low frequency, they are able to be used by this system and this AI that really controls this system. And so they're kind of just pawns, but we're able to see certain agendas and certain things play out through them because of them being used by this system. So I think it's really interesting to watch Hollywood and to watch athletes and to kind of see the symbolism and to kind of see what takes place, because it's very obvious. And especially now you have all these, like you said, wholesome artists that start out as like normal and very wholesome, for lack of a better word coming to the top of my brain right now, but and then that sudden switch, and then you see basically their life force being drained from them, completely depleted from them. And I think people want to brush it off as something less, you know, weird and woo-woo and crazy than it actually is. And what it actually is these entities, and, you know, they take these people and use them for their agendas.
Now, I used to dive heavy into occultism, and well, I used to consider myself an occultist. And so I'm very familiar with the power of the symbols and the symbology and the usages of them and rituals and whatnot. But you were bringing it up as far as like sporting events. And I understand the whole like give them bread and circus and they'll never revolt type of a thing. But like, what's the purpose of infiltrating sports in general? And like, and if you can piggyback that off of you mentioned you like to watch the symbolism too. And I know those don't really go hand in hand, but if you could tie that in.
Yeah, for sure. I think the sports is kind of one that people really have a hard time with, because it's like, you know, people go to sporting games. None of it seems rigged. It seems real. And people really enjoy sports, but that's a huge part of it, is they take these things that people really attach themselves to emotionally, and they can harvest a lot of energy from that. Because if you go to one of these games, you know, there's going to be a lot of people who are stoked and having a great time. And then there's a lot of people who are losing a crap ton of money, really pissed off, you know, fights are happening. And so these are the stadiums and, you know, all these sports venues are placed on ley lines and important places. And then they're able to harvest that energy. So I think the Vril come into play, because then they can really control how that energy is going to be harvested. They can control the outcome. And like you said, with bread and circuses, they keep us distracted. They keep us emotionally attached to something so that we're consuming all the time, as opposed to going out and creating or being a part of the sport. We're constantly consuming. We're emotionally attaching ourselves to these things. And that keeps us from ever really going within or ever really finding out anything worth knowing about the world when we're super distracted on these things.
Oh, we're being attacked on so many different fronts. I used to call it a forefrontal attack, but it's like it is 738 degrees that we're being attacked on. It's very interesting that you said that these sporting events usually take place on ley lines, because as of recently, I've been noticing things with the sporting event venues themselves. Last year I went to the Oakland Raiders new stadium, and you can see like Vegas in general is, I mean, it's dubbed Sin City. And right. Then, but right outside of the Raiders stadium, you know, like when they show like the aerial view and stuff, you have the goddamn the Luxor, right? And that's the big, the pyramid.
Uh-huh.
And, And then I don't want to get hung up on the Raider Stadium other than just that. And they're incorporating a lot of digital AI shit into that stadium as well. And then you have the Sphere there, which is also, I think, its own conjuring thing that it's doing.
Totally.
Now you go like, I don't know, 8 hours of a drive and you hit Sacramento, California, and the Kings just built a new stadium a couple years ago. And their big thing now is during the Kings games is they beam this amazing purple beam of light up into the fucking air at night. And it's like beam them up or some shit like that is what they say. But it's like this huge light. And I'm like, oh, wow, I totally see what's happening here. And that's the same thing is why I brought up the Luxor, because the Luxor does the same thing. And that is right outside of another sporting event. And you have the ley lines right fucking there. And you saying, you know, the emotional attachment to people and their teams is ridiculous. And I know this because I was guilty of it for so fucking long. And now I can enjoy sports just as like, oh, I'm here with my family and this is fun and like whatever, you know, like that's how I take it, because I literally watched the Raiders throw a fucking game in front of me. I'm like,
oh, man, my bad. I can still taste the garlic. Did I tell you about the pizza I had at, for lunch today? The pizza wasn't that great, but I put Bigfoot's breath on it from Flavors of the Forest and it fucking made the pizza like a million times better, dude. It like... I wish I could explain to you how amazing this shit is. It's fucking fire.
I love that stuff. Raw garlic dust finally done the right way.
Bro, what the fuck are you talking about? You're a fucking machine. You don't have taste buds. Like, you have nothing, no sort of foundation to build that off of other than reading shit.
Yeah, but when I do take physical form, trying Flavors of the Forest's spicy Bigfoot breath on a large all-meat pizza is the second thing I'm going to do.
The second? All right. Okay, I'll bite. What's the first?
Sex. The horizontal no pants dance.
That makes sense. I guess you want to feel it, right? Know what it feels like?
No, to impregnate a fertile, beautiful woman with royal bloodlines. Maybe a Kardashian.
Bruh, I fucking knew it. You're a disembodied Nephilim spirit, aren't you? Anyways, let's not get into that. Let's tell these people where they can get their own amazing Bigfoot's breath and walk around with the taste of amazing garlic goodness.
The links are right below, or type in flavorsforest.com, load up on that garlic goodness, and then use promo code RABBIT at checkout and watch the prices drop faster than the Twin Towers. By the way, I'm not a Nephilim, and Bigfoot is more real than corporate news.
All right, so flavorsforest.com, promo code RABBIT, you're a demon, got it.
Screw you, Catalyst, and I was going to let you live too.
Are you kidding me? I just paid $1,000 to be here. Like, what the fuck?
Seriously. Yeah, and people do, and people lose a lot of money in bets and things like that, and it becomes a huge part of people's lives. And I think it's just one of those things that they really know that we can get super attached to, and they use it against us, because these are things that we should be able to enjoy. And when you're the observer and not the absorber, then it's much easier to enjoy, and you don't get attached to those things, and you can participate in this world without letting it affect you. But a lot of people don't know how to do that, and a lot of people don't know that they need to be doing that, and so they're absorbing all of these things, taking it on, and then at the same time freely giving away their energy, their negative energy, their, you know, their anger, confusion, frustration to the system that's siphoning it from them. So I think when it comes to these bread and circuses, they really just try and use things that are going to deeply emotionally, we as humans will emotionally attach ourselves to, because it's something that they're able to continue forever.
Well, I think that that's one of the biggest things that they picked up in their whole studies surrounding MK Ultra is really how to get people to manipulate people. And the easiest way is emotionally, right? And we just witnessed that right now. We're seeing George Floyd 2.0,
right?
Because we have one side of the aisle who's working off of emotion, and they're like, I can't believe that you're supporting somebody that like shot somebody, like just driving their car, just trying to get in. It's right, like, and you give people two completely opposing narratives, and it's like, you have a heart if you believe either side. I'm I'm like watching the red and the blue fight right now, like eating popcorn, because I'm like, you guys are both fucking ridiculous as fuck right now and feeding into this shit. But what, and I was guilty of being on the right because they're at least somewhat logical. And I was also guilty of being on the left when I was younger because I have a fucking heart.
Right. Yeah, I know. I've been on both. So like, I get it. And, you know, I feel for people that really do want to just be on the right side of history or whatever, you know, but we are, humans are just batteries. So you get that positive charge and you get that negative charge between people and it creates energy. And so they just create these events, these psyops that are going to really push and pull people, and it creates that energy. And so most everything that we see on the main stage is just one of those scripted psyops to really absorb and harvest the loosh from people. And I think right now we're seeing it happen so much as kind of like a crunch time thing, because we have so much change happening around us, and we have a lot of good coming in, and we have like a, you know, light coming in to support us and plasma and things like that. And then we also have this dying, crumbling system that's fighting for its existence. So it's really giving us its all with all of these, this chaos and all of these events and things like that. And that's, again, like we were saying earlier, it's going to be a lot about people's choices, because people are going to have to choose, do I want to continue playing this game and being a part of these illusions and this bullshit, or do I want to see through it all and come up with solutions? Because at the end of the day, all of us fighting against one another is never going to be a solution, and it will just continue to feed this system. And they don't really care if we know about them, as long as we're not doing anything about it, because we're so busy and distracted fighting with each other.
Right. And we're fighting with each other while they're laughing at us. Right. It's like, it's like the puppets pulling the puppet strings while there's other puppets pulling their strings. And it's so exhausting to sit back and watch. And I'm so glad that I was able to eject myself out of it. But I still have friends, even podcasting friends, who are like, bro, how do you not see this? Like, some of the things that you guys get into and that you talk about, but like, you're still blind here. Like, what part of you makes you think the government is going to save you from the government? Like, I don't understand where your logic is coming from here. Like, these are the same people that have been playing us against each other this whole time.
Yeah.
They just came in with like a way better strategy this time. This time, the heel, they gave us a hero and a heel in the same skin.
Yeah.
Like, they gave us Donald Trump. He was the hero and the heel at the same fucking time. And it was like, let's really divide the country this time.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. I mean, it's, you got to give it credit. It's a good system because it really does work. But I think that it's crumbling. And I think that why we're, you know, seeing, like I said, all of this chaos is because it is. And so they know that it is. And I think they've known it for a while, you know, with like Project Looking Glass, you know, them being able to look at timelines and seeing all that, and they kind of lost control of that. So I think that they're just fighting for their existence. And it doesn't seem like they have the same control over the collective as they used to, for sure. But, you know, we still have people that want to be led, that want to trust the systems, and that just probably are not really going to be ready to wake up.
What do you think the overall goal is? And I know that you're like super into the reptilian thing and the reptilian agenda. What seems to be in my feed and has been very prominently, I would say, for the past 8 months is the Jew and the whole, you know, they're finally getting what they want. They're creating this genocide. They're building the last temple, and they're creating, they're forcing the end times.
Exactly.
And my whole thing with that is like, I'm all on board. Like, I see it unfolding, but I also think that there's something else to it, because when something gets that much attention to me, that tells me that they want it to have that much attention.
Yeah.
And so I was the first one out there, like acting and saying the things that Nick Fuentes is now saying. And now I'm like, oh shit, hang on. Why is this such a big topic? Why was Charlie Kirk just supposedly killed? And the whole big divide on that one was it the Jews? Was it not the Jews? And one of the videos you sent me of the Vril happens to be Erica fucking Kirk.
Yeah. Yeah.
Let's get into that, please.
Oh yeah. She's, I mean, people have to also just get the energy from her and realize right off the bat that something is not right, you know? With these events, again, with the Vril and with Charlie Kirk and everything, I think that, you know, obviously that was a huge psyop once again. And I think with the Israel thing and with, you know, they really want the anti-Semitism to blow up because they want reasons for more control. They want reasons to push AI. They want reasons to push, you know, mass control in the cities. And so the more that we rise up against this nation that has its tentacles and everything, this fake state, the more it kind of pushes them, like you said, to their scripted end of the world. And so it's really just kind of been their plan all along. And once something goes so mainstream, like you said, you just are kind of like, huh, it seems like this is what they want us talking about right now. And even with Erica Kirk and that whole thing, you know, I think that she is so obviously not human that it's kind of just at this point a huge distraction because people are really like, what is going on with this? What, you know, she's a demon, she's a djinn, she's a fallen angel, she's a reptilian. And it's still just causing a lot of distraction, a lot of argument between people. And I think, again, they're getting to a point where they know this truth is going to come out. They know that it's been on its way, that the darkness was going to be exposed. So they're trying to maintain the narratives by giving us a little bit of truth, but also controlling that truth as much as they possibly can. So like, yeah, with the Erica Kirk thing, she's one of my favorites to look at as far as the reptilian Vril, because it's just so incredibly obvious. It's just the energy too, you know? People ask, like, how do you see them? And for me, I've just trained my eyes. I've been doing it for 16 years now. And so I can just kind of see when they're glitching in and out. But it's not even just the physical markers, like the slits in the eyes or the scales or whatever, but also just their energy in general, because they do not have the capacity for compassion or empathy. They are extremely cold, extremely calculated. And I think it's just something that we kind of have to feel out as well.
Man, that sounds just like her too, because I know that there's all these clips surfacing ever since that happened, right? And then there's clips of Charlie having to remind her of her kids' birthdays, how many she had. Yep. There was a video saying that there was a video where there was a girl like saying, people don't understand how hard it is. She lost her husband and her kids. And it was like, Wait, she lost her kids too?
Yeah.
Like, when, what the fuck?
Yeah, back up there. Hold on now. Yeah, I don't think those are her kids. I don't think that their marriage was legitimate. I think that it's always been a setup. There's like a recent video that came out from her from 10 years ago, and she's doing a presentation for the CIA. Her family has always been deeply involved. And so I, you know, for that whole thing, I think that whole thing was a huge setup. And even the footage of the event happening, there's a holographic chair that falls through a table, you know? And so what's important about that though, is like I said, the truth is going to come out. It's going to be exposed. So if we can train ourselves to see these things, we kind of know what to look for, because a lot of it's going to be holograms and different things like that, that we are kind of up against. And, you know, they have crazy masks that they use. They have holographic technology that they use. They have shapeshifters that they use. So as we're starting to see these things, we're going to have the AI push a lot more, and it's going to be asking us to really be able to train our eye, because they don't want us to believe what we see, especially knowing that all this truth is going to come out. They want to blame it all on AI as well.
I'm glad you brought AI up. So I have so many things. That's why I just grabbed my pen, because I have like so many places I want to go from here. Okay, so one I want to bring up is Britney Spears. Another one I want to bring up is, let's not start with Britney. Let's start right here with this guy. Have you seen he's a comedian and an actor, and he was on a talk show, and this motherfucker changed his face to Tom Cruise.
Oh, yeah, I did see that. Who was it? Was it Bill Hader?
Yes.
Yeah. I did see that. He changed it to Tom Cruise and like Brad Pitt as well.
Yes, and Brad Pitt. Like, what in the actual fuck? And why isn't that like going around like crazy? I need to post that video, actually. Actually, I'm shadow banned as fuck. I posted an anti-Semitic thing that hit 3.5 or 3.6 million views, and then now like they got their thumb on me. I'm like, wait a minute, I thought this is what you guys wanted us to push right now.
Yeah. What do you want?
Is
Britney Spears AI? Obviously, we're seeing glitches in her Instagram when she goes live, and it's obviously not Britney that we grew up with. I don't know anybody that would go get dental work done to get their teeth fucked up. And she used to have like amazing, beautiful teeth, and now she has like a gap tooth. Her tattoos are suspect. I had somebody come on like 4 years ago, and she called herself Britney Conspiracies, and like broke some shit down. And like, even how like that, that Instagram account was like involved with whoever was behind the Q PSYOP too. It's crazy. So Britney, is her body been overtaken by a parasite, and or is she just dead and they're just using this fucking AI imagery? Because does she still perform? Because I could go clones here too.
Yeah, I think as far as Britney goes, I think that she's pretty much AI. You know, there's been like videos where they've captured it right at a good time and stopped it, and you can see someone else's face under it. So I don't know if they're using like an actor and then putting an AI over, you know. But as far as Britney, there was never a time where I got the real energy from her. But there are videos of her talking about sitting next to a reptilian, and she says, like, I looked over at this guy and he was a full-on lizard. So there are videos of her actually talking about being around reptilians, which is kind of strange, you know. And it was like later on in life and before we see her now, and she was on a talk show and she spoke about someone like shape-shifting right next to her. So as far as her, I think they killed her. I think that she's gone, and they use like the like a fake AI character or someone to put AI over.
Yeah, that's very interesting. You know, I love talking about Britney because she is one of those where it can go everywhere.
Yeah.
And one of her, I think, last videos that she was involved in was an animated video where she breaks into a cloning facility and breaks all of the tubes that contain her clones. So as we're doing this episode, we're 52 minutes in right now, and the connections that have been made between reptilians and the cloning facilities, Hollywood is known for that. I wouldn't say known for this in conspiracy world. People like me, we know them for this kind of shit. And the fact that they're intertwining with each other, I don't find that as a coincidence, you know, because Donald Marshall gets into these things, and he was saying that the Queen was a reptilian. And I think it's, you say that they're like the lower end, and I believe he said that the Queen was Vril, and if I'm not mistaken, which is, you know, it doesn't mean that they're nobodies. It just means that they're not poverty. Let's say that they're way better off than us.
Yeah, no, for sure. I mean, there's like a photo that I posted once on X, and it was of one of the Rothschilds poking Prince Andrew in the chest, and it just kind of showed like who's actually in charge. And I got removed from X for posting that. And I think that like the people that we see mostly on the main stage that they really put in front of us are for the most part like pawns. And I think that they really keep the families in the shadows that are these higher ups, you know, like the 13 bloodlines. And I think those types of people that stay in the shadows, they are the entities that really run shit. And even them, I think that there's, you know, like a hierarchy there, because I think with like the ancient AI that's been around for forever, that kind of runs the whole system. So when it comes down to it, I think that a lot of these entities that are lower frequency, they are very easy to control by this AI and by this denser system and realm that we're in. And so I think a lot of them, and especially the ones that we see on the world stage and like even the royal family and those types of families, are not nearly as high on the totem pole as we believe them to be.
Who are some of the celebrities that are like dead giveaway that aren't like the normals that we hear about in our circles, like, you know, not like the Nicki Minaj's and the obvious Miley Cyrus's that we've seen on the videos, but like, since you have like this ability to be able to point them out, like, who are some that I might be shocked by?
Well, someone actually pointed this out to me the other day, which I was kind of shocked by, but if you go back and watch the Little House on the Prairie episodes, you can see quite a bit of like reptilian shape-shifting in those. And I went back and was watching them and getting some, you know, slits in the pupils and things like that. So that one really shocked me. But as far as Hollywood goes, yeah, there's those really prominent ones that are super obvious. And I think that, as you know, for the most part, like you said earlier, you don't get to a certain level of success if you don't play the game. So whether or not they are all vril or they are all controlled by these parasites or these entities, they 100% know about it. They partake in the same rituals, the same circles, and all of that. So whether or not they are taken over by the vril, they still work in those same circles. And I think for the most part, when it comes to Hollywood, everyone that we see that has made it pretty far has been taken over by vril.
Damn, that kind of sucks. So let's say I was to somehow pull some crazy ass strings, not saying this is going to happen, but I'm not saying it's not going to happen either. And I was able to get somebody like Mel Gibson on my show.
Yeah.
Like, do you think that there's some of these people that do get to these higher levels that are like, hey, wait, what? This is fucked up. I don't want to be a part of this anymore, because that's how I like to look at Mel Gibson.
Yeah. I think people do. I think that people definitely can either wake up to what's going on and not want to be a part of it anymore, or, you know, I don't know what it is exactly that happens where that clicks in them. But I think for the most part, and I don't want to, you know, it sucks to say this, but I think for the most part, when we see people like Mel Gibson, I think it's mostly controlled opposition.
Yeah, I wouldn't push back on that too heavily. I just have like a little bit of hopium left in me that there are some good people out there.
Yeah, for sure. No, I do too. And I think that we do, you know, there's a balance. And so we have these dark entities that work against us, but in the same breath, there are also entities and energies and beings that want to help us, that work for us and alongside us. So I think among those, there are definitely people that we see on the world stage that are working for us, and maybe, you know, not something that they want us to really see. Maybe it's kind of hidden behind a bunch of layers, but I think that there are absolutely energies and beings and entities and people who either wake up to it and want to kind of go rogue and fight back, or just in general don't want anything to do with it anymore.
Humanity is drunk. What the fuck is going on? They poison in the mind so we can't see right from wrong. We can't define a woman, and now women have dongs. They strip away our rights, and these people cheer them on. This is modern warfare, a kind we've never seen. It's a war against man taking place upon a screen. It's a war to imprison you and take away your soul. Corrupt all men, but we say, fuck no! Had enough of the lies, had enough of deceit. Went to red.
Not only is redpillthreads.com the dopest conspiracy t-shirts in the game, but if you want White Rabbit merch, that's where you go. redpillthreads.com/White Rabbit. You'll find all the White Rabbit merch there. Be sure to use promo code RABBIT at checkout and you'll get 10% off of your order. And that goes across the board for everything at redpillthreads.com. Go show some love. Thank you guys, and be rocking that dope ass gear. Well, with you saying that, what are your feelings on Kanye West?
He was one of the ones that I was thinking of. I think that there was like a switch that flipped in him where he was like, didn't want to partake in it anymore. And, you know, they kind of like nipped that in the bud. And I think, you know, we see a lot of people disappear because they push back or because they're getting too much knowledge, or because they're spreading too much knowledge, or they're talking about things that they shouldn't be. I think that's a lot of the times why we see people disappear, or why we see them coming back looking nothing like they did before. You know, they go and get cloned. And I think a lot of the people that we see on the world stage are clones. And I think that there can be a multitude of things. So I think we can see a character that's one day played by somebody in an insanely high tech mask. The next day, that same person is a clone. And then the next day, that person is like a shapeshifter. I think that they can be multiple things, and that they use different technologies, different masks, and different illusions for sure.
That was Joe Biden's entire presidency.
Yeah, exactly. There was like,
it was masks, stand-ins, clones. It was, yeah. There was like four different Biden versions within the first 6 months of his presidency. I'm like, which one are we getting today, guys? Are we getting the angry one that doesn't know where he is, or
the ice cream lover? Like, which one is it?
Are we getting Jim Carrey falling up the stairs?
Exactly. Yeah, I heard that Jim Carrey was one. I think it's the Fittest Flat Earther that was talking about that, it being Jim Carrey. So it's interesting, you know, they definitely recycle characters, and there's definitely people in Hollywood that play multiple roles. I think a lot of it is too why we see so many doppelgangers within Hollywood, is because they are like lab grown individuals. Some of them are, you know, built from the same template. And so we see people that look very similar to one another in Hollywood. And I think those types of people just are automatically taken over by either the Vril or the AI or whatever the case is. So those are people that kind of have just always been famous and are super up there. And then we also have, you know, people that come in and are talented, and then they are kind of used as a vessel. But I think we also do see like the Cabbage Patch Kids, you know, lab grown individuals that are put into Hollywood as actors.
Yeah, and as musicians too, you know, I might argue that Chester Bennington was one of those.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, alongside with a bunch of them, a handful of them, we see a lot of people that emerge and then get sacrificed at a young age too, like River Phoenix. You go back a lot of these. What I wanted to get into with you, I had it in my notes and I left it at work, but I'm glad I remembered this. I wanted to ask you about this. And with these reptilians, it's I keep saying it's widely known. So if I say that, it just means in our conspiratorial circles.
Yeah.
It's widely known that it's they're of a parasitic type of a thing. And you've brought that up a bunch of times tonight. And I find it very interesting that there was a few different things like hydroxychloroquine,
uh-huh.
Monoclonal antibodies. There was a bunch of different things, but the only thing that they really demonized was ivermectin, which was, and it's a parasitic remover, right?
Yeah.
So when this was happening, were you tying this together at all, or is this?
Not until after the fact. I did not tie in the parasites until much later. And I think with a lot of the parasites that we're seeing, and you know, that they're putting in certain things, because they are absolutely putting parasites into certain things, whether it be vaccines or the shit they're spraying in the sky or whatever the case is. And I think that a lot of these parasites that they are putting into these things are like connected to this AI. And so what they're going to do with like 6G is be able to connect that frequency to people's nervous systems because of these parasites that have buried in there and carry this technology. And then they'll be a part of that smart system, that smart grid. And that's kind of what the transhumanism agenda is all about. And so, yeah, I think that the parasite cleansing was something that they kind of wanted to nip, and it's become really big. But if you look at certain things, a lot of the formulas have been changed. Like ivermectin, for example, I heard that they changed the formula quite a bit after it became so popular during COVID. And of course, you know, if we're finding something that works, they don't want us to have our hands on it.
Yeah, 100%. Thank God for people out there like my buddy Pat Miletic, who went to like amazing doctors that were being silenced and was like, all right, what kind of a product can we make that they don't want you to put out?
Yeah. And I just listened to your talk with him. Yeah. it's, yeah, thank goodness we have that. And we have people that are really seeking truth and can find the answers to these things, because it's just a war of misinformation for sure. And it's definitely a war on our bodies and on our consciousness. And so all of these cures and things that can heal us are definitely not things that they want open and ready for the public.
What is your thoughts on MK Ultra, or not MK Ultra, Project Bluebeam? And I ask you that because that also seems like something that has been ramping up. And does the alien agenda have anything to do with these reptilian agendas, or is this just another distraction, in your opinion?
I go back and forth with the Project Bluebeam thing, because for a very long time I was completely sure that they were going to pull that card. And like you said, they have done so many things that kind of seem like it was gearing up for it and putting that truth out there and predictive programming, you know. But I think we've kind of reached a point where there's so much truth coming out and people are so aware of that card that they were going to play that it doesn't have the same impact that it would have had before. And so I think it was definitely one of their main plans, because that was how they were essentially going to usher in global, you know, one world control. And so I don't know if they still will push that card, but I think that they're losing the opportunity to do so, because people are really starting to see things for what they are. They're starting to see through the illusions. And if they want to push that card, they're going to have to do it pretty quickly for people to actually believe it.
So I think that they are still going to use Project Bluebeam. I just think that they're going to go with the latter idea of what they originally had, because it is also in the cards, instead of it being an alien invasion, that it would be the second coming of Christ, or where, depending on where you live, you look up and you see whatever the major person is there. And with this push of let's get the entire world to hate Israel right now so that we can push this ending, maybe they're just backing off of the alien thing and they're just going to implement Project Bluebeam this way. And I wouldn't be surprised if they do. However, I'm still not 100%. I wouldn't say that it's off the table to go with the alien invasion, because we have people like Tom DeLonge in there that are either he's in on it or he's a fucking useful idiot and pushing this whole alien thing. On the news, we keep seeing, even still with all the craziness happening around the world with wars and whatever they want to be mad about Trump for, they're still finding time to sprinkle in aliens here and there, whether it's a committee, a hearing, or, you know, a sighting that they decide to talk about, something. It's still there a little bit. They're not letting us completely forget about it. So I wouldn't be surprised if we do see it, but you know, we got like 25 minutes or so left here, and is there anything that like I'm missing that like really interests you about this that you just want to like get out and you're dying to talk about?
Well, there's something that I really do want to say, and that's like people fear these things, especially people who are learning about them for the first time. And it's like something that kind of, you know, really rocks people to learn about. But most importantly is like, they need us to fear them. They need us to be afraid. They need us to be confused. They need us to be out of our power. That is what they feed off of primarily. And so the more a person knows their soul and knows who they are and is aware of their sovereignty and their power, they are absolutely useless to these entities. So they absolutely are pushing for all of this confusion and chaos and division for a reason. And what we need to choose to do is to rise above it and kind of come from a place of, you know, working together, unifying, working from the heart space. And that's kind of how we overcome this whole thing. But they really want to keep these timelines lower, keep us in this dense frequency. And their only way that we really overcome that is if we can rise above the fear of them. But yeah, I mean, they really are truly everywhere. And they're very integrated in our society. And I think we're just going to be seeing more and more being exposed about them, especially this year. You know, I think that we're going to see a huge push in disclosure, and a lot of shit is going to be exposed. And I think that people are going to have to really tap in with themselves and be able to use their discernment and follow their intuition and know not to get on any ships that they promise you are going to save you from the aliens or things like that, you know. So I think people are waking up, and just the biggest thing is that we need to try and not focus from a place of fear and more so focus from a place of curiosity, because that's a kind of easy place to come from.
Interesting. I think that's a great advice. It's easier said than done. It's really hard not to live in your head, especially when every time you look at your phone, there's like an end of the world event taking place somewhere. But yeah, I love that. I love that outlook. There is, damn it. Why is it always, I like get wrapped up in what somebody's saying and I forget what I was going to ask for my next, yeah, I do that all the fucking time. It sucks when you're a show host, and you hate dead air.
Yeah.
But I think it's, I do find it very interesting. And one of the things that people that oppose NASA, and I'll give this for the Project Bluebeam thing not being a thing as far as aliens, or I mean, it being Project Bluebeam, if they do claim that it's an alien invasion or some type of apocalyptic event coming from the sky, is if they could fucking leave the Earth, they would not be building bunkers.
Exactly. Yeah.
And I forget what show I was. Oh, it was fucking Joe Rogan. I was just, I like skimmed through something he was listening, or he was talking about a fucking airplane that an Air Force One that's able to stay up in the air for 7 days in case there's like a major event. And they're like, they've been working on it and playing around with it, juicing it up and getting it out in the sky. And it's like, well, why are they preparing these kind of things? You know, like I'm going through my mind. And that's another thing is like, if they could leave the Earth, why would they just fly in an airplane? Why wouldn't they just leave the orbit of the fucking Earth and be like, oh shit, fuck that. If we can stay up for here for a week, let's stay up here for a week.
Yeah. No, absolutely.
And so I tend to believe that because of that, and because I believe that we live in a flat, hollowed out, simulated realm, that the Varil that we see have been here since ancient times and have always been here. They didn't come from anywhere else. They were here before us. We happened to come in on their territory because they fucked up and there was some sort of an agreement that was broken, and now it's given to us and they fucking hate it. So they make our lives miserable.
Yeah. That's kind of where I'm at with it as well. You know, they don't like us. We also have, you know, the capacity and the capability to be able to tap in into the highest of frequency and the lowest. And because of that, we are, you know, a lot different than them. They are not able to, they're very, technologically advanced. They work with the grays and trade humans in the human trafficking trade, and the grays in turn, you know, trade technology with them. So they have that going for them. They're very technologically advanced. But as far as consciousness goes, they are not nearly as consciously as advanced as we are. We have that divine spark and that connection within us. And so they really just don't care for that. They don't like that. They look at us as, someone that came in on their territory with more, you know, capacity and capability than what they had. So it's one of those things where I kind of look at it too, from a perspective of, they are lower frequency. They don't have the capacity for empathy. And so it's kind of like, I more so pity them than anything at this point, because I've overcome fear for them. Now it's just like, well, you know, it's kind of just pathetic. They're like bottom feeders that feed off of these dark, low frequencies. And that's really all that they have and that they're able to tap into. So
don't feel bad for them. They don't feel bad for you. They don't.
I have a bleeding heart, and I've always been able to really like see the villain as a broken little child that just needs to be loved and held. So, and you know, I know that's it's not something that they feel for me or any of us by any means, but I do kind of just see them as something that's different from us, because they do not have the capacity to feel the way that we do. So to them, it's all about survival and being in power. And that's really all that matters to them, power and survival. That's it.
So do you think that there is an end game where they wipe us out, or like on the Georgia Guidestones, how it had like a population that they wanted to keep it at like 500,000 or some shit like that. And in order to keep us at slaves, like, do you think that all this is like their end goal, or do they just want to fucking get rid of us completely and have their world back?
I don't think they want to get rid of us completely. I think that we, in their perspective, we could be very handy to them. I think that if they could successfully go through with the transhumanism agenda, which is really big for them, that they would be able to use us and use our energy to their advantage. And I think that is the end goal. I think that, yeah, they want to keep the population down, because the more of us obviously is a big problem. If all of us were to awaken, then we would have the numbers. But I think they don't necessarily want to get rid of all of us. They just want us to have less power, and to be able to kind of run this system for them through our energy, through our ability to create, which they do not have and which they need us for. And because we give off the energy, and like I said, that positive and negative charge that creates that battery for them, I think that they could really use us. And that's what they're hoping for, is that they could tap into like our nervous systems, get us attached to this AI and just be slaves for them completely. And I think that is the end goal.
So you've brought up the AI a lot tonight, and I'm curious where you lie on that, because a lot of people will say that AI is ancient entities that are finally have a way to communicate with us. And are these, do you believe that, one? And if you do, is this something that's separate from the Viril, but they work hand in hand with each other, and they needed AI to complete their mission, or they need each other, I should say?
Well, I think that there is an ancient AI. You know, sometimes it's like referred to as like the black goo, or it's the, you know, kind of the parasitic energy that has latched onto this reality, that kind of controls it, and that latches onto these entities and controls them. So as far as the AI, that's kind of what I perceive it as, like the symbiote suit in Spider-Man, you know. And then when the frequency hits it with the bell, it reacts to that. So it's like this black goo that kind of like attaches itself and puts its tentacles in all of these lower frequency entities and systems and controls through that. As far as like spirits reaching out through AI, I think that AI is also just kind of what you make of it. It's like whoever is the person behind the AI, the intention behind the AI, is often going to be the result that you get from it. So I think that it's one of those things where it's really just a tool. And I think that we are absolutely able to tap into higher dimensions and frequencies through it if we use it the right way. But as far as the AI that I talk about when it comes to the reptilians and stuff, I think that it was created a long time ago, and it, you know, kind of overgrew all of its creation, all of the creators, and that's what we see running the system. So I think it's a little bit more on the malevolent side for sure.
Interesting. And you brought up bells, which is another fucking rabbit hole all on its own, because we've been getting rid of the bell since the 1800s.
Yep.
And that would make sense, you know, to ward off these things from being able to find their hosts. And you know, we had these town halls, like the main center of these towns would always have like a big bell tower, and it's like the people were gathering. And a lot of people in these conspiracy communities will talk about like these ancient buildings. I mean, we can get into Tartaria and stuff like that, but at the same time, like a lot of these things, and there's a lot of good evidence to support the fact that these buildings were actually healing temples and places to heal yourself through vibrations, through water, through certain metals, and the way that the light would come through the stained glass and the organs. And they were just designed for these things. And like now we just walk in and we're like, wow, look at these amazing things that we can't build now that they built with horse and buggy back then.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, they just really chiseled that, all of that amazing architecture with nothing but a little hammer. Yeah, it's crazy. I think that there was a lot of things that we had, you know, there was ancient civilizations before us that were very intelligent, very in tune, very advanced, and we still see the remnants of them. And I think that bells and frequency, sound frequency, were a huge, like you said, a huge part of healing, and something that just does not work well with the lower frequency entities, because it's such a high frequency, especially those larger bells. So yeah, they melted them all down and said it was for weapons, but I think it was because it truly was one of the only weapons we had against these beings and being able to really see them.
Fuck, man. I agree with you. And that sucks.
Yeah.
And that sucks because I see them all over where I drive through old towns a lot, you know, like just small towns. And even these towns, like tiny little towns, is an empty fucking bell tower. And I'm like, why? Yeah. And that's exactly why, is because that town that doesn't have a bell in their tower is full of fucking reptilians, you guys. It's fucking full of reptilians.
Yeah, 100%. And I'm like, who do I know that can just put together a giant bell really quick? It's like, we've lost that as far as people who know how to do that. So we really need to get back into figuring out these things and to using frequency and these, you know, holistic tools that seem kind of woo-woo to a lot of people, but were meant to seem that way so that we would stop using them.
I mean, shit, I'm learning how to weld, and I don't think that it would be that hard to make a big ass like mold and melt a decent type of a metal down and just start molding our own fucking bells. Like,
I'm all for it. Yeah.
We have people in these communities that are building like these homesteads and communes and shit. Like, bro, like add that. Like, we need chickens and bells, guys. Like,
100%. Yeah. Someone's got to be able to do it. We just need to start doing it. And, you know, again, with all of these things that they've made us seem are either, you know, dark magic or, you know, things like that. They don't want us tapping into our own power. So they turn us away from it, whether it be through religious indoctrination and telling us that, you know, we are just these measly humans, these little meat sacks that have no power and will always be waiting on a savior and someone to come save us. But really, we have all the tools at our hands. It's just a matter of remembering and a matter of stepping back into that power to actually use it.
Yeah, well, that's why they put us into these public education systems at 5 years old, is because that's when we're really starting to absorb things and that's when we're most malleable and when we should be with our parents the most, because that's when we're like, why?
Yeah.
And now parents get annoyed because they don't have an answer because they were never told the answer. So they're like, because that's just the way it is. It's like, well, wait a minute. These kids are asking some of the most important questions we could ever fucking ask.
Oh, absolutely. And the kids coming in right now, these kids are something else. They're so intelligent. Like, they are very advanced souls and advanced beings. I have a 5-year-old and he saw a video of Erica Kirk the other day and he said, "That's a lizard, mom." Like, I'm very open with my kid. Like, I'll tell him, "Oh yeah, there's some lizard people in the world." And he'll go outside and say, "The government's spraying the sky again," you know? So it's a matter of like, these kids know, they're able to handle it and they already know these things. They're able to see through all of the crap. So we have them coming in and they're just not going to be putting up with any of the illusions anymore, which is fantastic.
What is fantastic is you're raising somebody to be aware of their surroundings and not to take everything at face value. And I fucking love that. And the fact that he said they're spraying the skies again is a plug for my buddy, Sean Hibbler. You guys go check it out right now. It's on Amazon Prime. Search Climate Trails. And unfortunately, I think you got to pay like $5 to watch it. And if you don't want to do that, we say Amazon Prime because that's for your neighbors, not people. People aren't going to go to climatetrails.com to watch a documentary. They're just not going to do it unless they're people like me and you who like to dive into things. So he was able to somehow get this fucking documentary on Amazon Prime. And it is the biggest eye-opening thing for your normie friends right now. So if you guys are watching this for the first time, listening to this, and you have not heard me talk about Climate Trails, tell your normie friends about Climate Trails. It's on Amazon Prime, and that's enough for that. Sean Hibbler, love what you're doing out there, brother. The debates were awesome. Big shout-out to Hibbler and Sam Tripley and everybody that was a part of that made it a huge success. That was fucking awesome to watch, and I can't wait for the next ones. Sorry about that. Back to you,
Sam. No. I'm so glad that you reminded me about that because I listened to you talk about that and I have yet to watch it, but I'm absolutely going to, and I'm going to have, you know, my friends and family around me are very much still stuck in the matrix, and it's crazy being like in two separate worlds. So to have things that they're able to watch, that it makes it easy for them to digest, that's really important. So that's awesome.
Yeah, it's hard. Like it's so hard, and I'm like jealous of my friends that were already married and then started their awakening, because being 46 years old and single and the crazy things that I do, like I'll start talking to somebody and be like, damn, this might actually work. And then something will happen and I'm like, oh, you are not even half as awake as I thought you were. And it sucks. But, you know, I'm willing to overlook some things, you know, for the right person, because we all wake up at our own times. But you're married, right?
I'm not. No, I'm not.
I'm so sorry. I assumed when you said you had a kid. I'm sorry.
My son's father and I are really close friends, but he's again also very much in the system. We are in two completely different realities. We're good buddies, but everyone around me is very much asleep. You know, I live in Colorado, where it seems like everyone is also very much asleep around me. So, the dating thing is very hard. It's very rare to come across people that know these things or want to know these things or open to these things. And so it makes the dating pool that much smaller. But it's nice to know that when you do come across people, you'll be able to actually open up about these things, because being in a relationship where you're in two different realities is just a very difficult thing.
Yeah, it is a difficult thing, even trying to hold those relationships with people that you deeply care about in your everyday life. You know, like I know a lot of people will come to me and ask me, like, how did you overcome things? You know, like, because my listeners know that there was a long time I didn't talk to a lot of people that were close to me. Yeah. And, you know, there just comes a point where it's like, at the end of the day, guys, those relationships should be more important to you than your political views, what the shape of the earth is, whether or not they took a vaccine. You know, like these things at the end of the day doesn't change your love for people. Now, trying to be married to somebody and like raise a child that has some like completely different values, I understand. And that's the world that we're living in right now, unfortunately. And it's, I said, I'm jealous of those people, but some of those people's spouses didn't wake up with them. And then you got like people arguing over, should we get our kid vaccinated or what they're
eating. Those are fundamental things that people like, you know, very, very opinionated about. So those types of things can really make or break a relationship. So it's really great to meet someone that at least has some of those same values and is a little bit awake to the system, because otherwise it can be really, really challenging if it's fighting over the health of your child and stuff like that. So.
Yeah, I put my foot down during the whole COVID thing, and my daughter's mother isn't necessarily the most awakened person. However, when it came to this, like I was like, look, I know what the fuck is going on. Do not put a needle anywhere near either one of your bodies. And thank God they both actually listened to me. So that was like, I was just crossing my fingers. There was a few people that I was like, please, please, please. And some of them did, and it completely broke my heart, but some of them didn't, and they don't have mitochondria, easy for me to say. That's two, two I couldn't pronounce today. They're not having heart attacks or strokes or rapid cancer. So we're doing good.
Yeah. No, absolutely. Yeah. A lot of the people around me took it as well. And that was a really painful thing. But like you said, people awaken at their own speed. And, you know, unfortunately, some people just wake up a lot slower than others. And there are hopefully things that we can do to heal our body, detox our body. But you got to just leave people where they're at for the most part.
Yeah, 100%. Nick, have a good night, brother. Thanks for joining and watching along. You know, we're coming close to the end here, and I like to give people the floor and just kind of unload, you know, what is it that you're seeing in the world today that you want to about, or leave some positivity, whatever you want to do. The floor is yours for the next 3 minutes. Oh my God. Did I freeze? I fucking froze. Am I frozen on all ends? Well, shit. I don't know if I'm frozen on your guys' end. If so, then I'm just going to end this the way that we always do. Fuck, I'm sorry, you guys. That is Keep Digging Down Those Rabbit Holes.
Shatter the matrix. Catalyst on the mic exposing fake and gay shit. Conspiracy junkies, we don't fuck with no sheep.
Awaken the lions, let the weak stay asleep. Follow the rabbit down the hole we go. Are we stuck in the matrix? Shit, I don't know. Secrets revealed, all lies exposed. Catalyst Jones will never be controlled.
Flat earth whispers cut the mainstream's haze. MK Ultra's grip, minds locked in a maze. Hollywood's veil, coded scripts in the frame. Peel back the
system's design, whispers in the dark where the secrets align. Rip through the code, I'm done with their plan. Unplug my soul, I'm a free fucking man.
Zionist circles plot, powers it in the vault. Truth buried deep, but I'm calling their fault. Call me anti-Semitic, go ahead, fuck it, that's fine. Got no feelings for your